is gonna come speak. David is the founder of Higher Call. He is a ministry leader in Nashville and a veteran in commercial real estate. He's a broker with Colliers International. He's the founder and leader of the Riverstone Group. And he has an amazing wife, Elaine, who really has helped pull today together. So thank you, Elaine. She can't hear me. Thanks, Elaine. David is gonna come speak to us now.
And it's so good to see y'all. Thank you for joining us and being a part of this conference today. I know it's an investment of time, and we know that your time is not just valuable, it's precious. And so what I've been praying for you this morning is that God would redeem this time for you and give you exactly what you need. And we all need different things, but I'm just thankful that you're here. And I think we need to ask the question, why are we here? So I've got three simple reasons. Number one, we want to glorify God. We want to elevate his role and his importance and in our businesses and in our professional life. Secondly, I believe we need a fresh vision. I believe that we need a greater vision of God's purposes in our business. And finally, I believe we need to be reminded that we're not alone, that we're not the only one. You know, there was a prophet who one time said, I'm alone, I'm the only one. And God had to remind him, no, there are 7,000 others who won't bow their knee to Baal. We need to be reminded that we're not the only one. There's an old African proverb that goes like this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So I'm hoping that today is an opportunity to reinforce that value and an importance of just coming together with other believers in the marketplace who are pursuing the same things, the same values, the same purposes that you are. So let's get started. I would imagine that most of you have heard about the three bricklayers who were asked the simple but direct question, what are you doing? The first bricklayer responded, I'm setting a brick. Second bricklayer said, well, I'm making a wall. But the third bricklayer exclaimed as he looked to the sky, I'm building a cathedral. I've always loved that story, but what I find so fascinating about that image is that all three bricklayers were doing the very same thing. They're bricklayers. They're laying bricks. The first bricklayer was simply doing the next thing. And for all of us, a whole lot of life and business often boils down to doing the next thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Doing the next thing is a good thing. Now, the second bricklayer was able to step back and see the bigger picture. And so he was able to see that it was not just setting a brick, he was actually building a wall, just like a good business leader understands the importance of seeing the bigger picture. So he or she can help their team and themselves be reminded that there's more at stake, that there's a great opportunity to contribute to a larger purpose. But the third bricklayer not only stepped back and saw the bigger picture, he looked up and saw something even greater. He imagined what could be. He embraced a larger purpose for the work he was doing, something magnificent that he was contributing to, and that is powerful. This morning, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that not only allows us to see the bigger picture, I believe it assists us and will help us look up and see something greater and far more powerful about the work that you and I are doing. The passage is Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Now, it's actually written at the bottom of your program. And, you know, I was just going to read this to you, but I think it might be a good thing this morning if we read it to each other. What do you think? So would you stand with me and let's read this aloud together as we receive it for ourselves and we read it and proclaim it to one another. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is God's word. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, these verses are like all verses in the Bible. They have a context. The second chapter of Ephesians unpacks the lostness and the lifelessness of humanity. But God, who is rich in mercy, demonstrates his indescribable love and pours out the immeasurable riches of his grace through the person of Jesus Christ. And the passage tells us that he has made us alive together in Christ. That's a great thing to be reminded of, you know. We may think about this as we gather in our churches to worship on Sundays, but what about Mondays? Don't we need to be aware that we are engaging in places and with people where there is lostness and lifelessness all around us? Maybe we need to pinch ourselves and remind ourselves that we are alive in Christ and we can bring life and hope into the office. We can bring life and hope into that meeting. And then we come to verse 8 and we see that there's a huge emphasis on the fact that our salvation and relationship with Christ has absolutely nothing to do with our works or our performance as a person. Our salvation and forgiveness of sin are a gift of God. And Paul tells us it's a gift, and then he reiterates that it is so much not our doing, and that it's all God's doing, that he tells us literally no one can boast. You may be thinking, what does this have to do with my workplace? Well, I believe it's absolutely crucial and foundational that we understand this, because when we don't, we tend to resort to trying to create our identity through our work and through our career and our business. And when we create our identity around our work and our professional career, we are actually neglecting, ignoring, or even rejecting this idea that this is God's gift to us, of an identity as sons and daughters of God that have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. To fully grasp that we have been brought into a relationship with God through the work of Christ on the cross liberates us from the pride of imagining that we can save ourselves, or from the dread of realizing that we can't. It doesn't matter how great your business is. It doesn't matter if you're crushing it and gaining market share. It doesn't matter if you're kind of a big deal. It doesn't matter how strong your brand is. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much social justice you're advocating for. Salvation and forgiveness and experiencing a genuine relationship with God is something only he can do. It is a gift that is simply received when a person repents and believes in Christ. And then we come to verse 10. And we see we have actually been created to do something. Good works. To know that we have been created for good works that have been designed and prepared by God himself liberates us from laziness and liberates us from self-driven disengagement from the needs of the world. I think most of us have heard the phrase, it's not what you do, it's who you are. This is true in our relationship to God, but by God's grace, we are not left to a life of anxious toil to earn God's approval. It's not what you do. It is who you are in Christ. However, this is important. However, this passage leads us toward a very logical progression. Because it's actually because of who you are that it does matter what you do and how you do it. The Greek word for workmanship is poema, which gives us our English words poem and poetry. I love that. I love this image that we are God's work of art. Some of the other biblical translations use the word craftsmanship or handiwork. Here's what I know is we have been imagined by God. He has made us. He's crafted and shaped us and formed us. We are his masterpiece. Now, Time out. Before we start listening to all the messages of our culture that tell us how great we are, we need to remember that the emphasis here is on the fact that we are His masterpiece. When properly understood, that should humble us, not puff us up. Thank God He has a great track record for working with unpromising material and unlikely people. So God has fashioned us, and He has shaped us in a particular and unique way with gifts and talents and interests and passions. I mean, it's so amazing that we try to put Enneagram numbers on it, right? God has planted a longing in our souls to be able to express those gifts in a way that contributes to something larger than ourselves. Depending on the setting and the context of your upbringing and experience, that longing may have either been encouraged or suppressed. But trust me, it's there. When we use our work and business to create our identity, we move toward futility and frustration. But when we work out of a strong sense of identity as a child of God, fashioned by Him with eternal purpose, we move toward fulfillment and joy. This is how God has designed work and business before the fall. And this is how He is now redeeming work and business since the fall. What are the good works? This has always been a stumbling block for me. When I was young, I was active. I was serving in my church. And when I first entered the marketplace in the world of business, I struggled to fully understand how what I was doing had anything to do with the good works that Paul is describing here. My understanding of good works was limited to a handful of what we would call spiritual activities or disciplines. So as Christians, if our gifts are not designed to fit a ministry or possibly a programming of our church, then we can often feel like the skills God gave us are less important to God. Does anybody resonate with that today? Because nothing could be further from the truth. You see, God loves people. He loves people in the church. He loves people outside the church. God loves our communities and our cities. And it's out of that amazing love that He has strategically deployed His people outside the walls of the church to exercise and express their giftedness in order to extend His common grace by providing products and services that cause communities to flourish. We call this business. God has a purpose for business. He placed us, His people, in the marketplace in order to advance His good works. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that what I'm doing in my job and my business is part of the good works described here? Yes. Let's go back to the garden in Genesis, where we see God experiencing an incredibly productive work week. What was God working on? Well, during the first 5 days of creation, God was creating our material world. Like a master developer, He designed and installed the infrastructure for the world as we know it. He made the sun and the moon, the stars, the land and the seas, the rocks and the hills, the trees and the vegetation, all the things that we would categorize as material things, all the things that people out there call natural resources. Personally, that offends me. There's nothing natural about our resources. God made them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. How did He feel about that work? Well, the Bible tells us that He thought it was good, and He said so. On the sixth day, God completed His ultimate work when He created human beings in His very own image. And in Genesis 2, we're informed that God's first interaction with man, recorded in Scripture, was a job orientation and training session. He took him to the garden. He planted the garden. Scripture says God planted the garden. He brought Adam to work in it and cultivate it. God presented Adam with all of his resources, and He called him to manage them and make the most of them. Here's one of the most important observations, though, that I have been just reflecting on and meditating on the last several years that I had not really paid that much attention to before. Here it is. God did not finish the garden. He did not finish the garden. He completed everything else. The solar system, the shape and form of the earth, and all the planets, the atmosphere, even gravity, but not the garden. Genesis 2:8 tells us that God planted the garden and brought Adam with him and put him in it to work it. God charged Adam with the responsibility of taking care of it, of cultivating it, and to continue growing it. Why is this important? Well, think about it. God gave us all of these amazing resources to manage. And then he created us in his own image so we could imitate his work skills of creativity and organization, ingenuity, vision, management, service, even collaboration, as he demonstrated and modeled for us in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God brought us into the process of providing and serving people. God is still God and we are not, but he made us part of the team to do, to continue his work. And ever since Adam, God has been activating his people to tap into his resources, to use their gifts, to serve his purposes. Don't you see? The garden was only the beginning. If you've read the last chapter, you know that we're going to end up in a city. We begin in a garden and we're going to end up in a city. God created humans with needs like food. We require food in order to sustain ourselves. And what I love is that God loved us so much that he gave us the gift of taste. So we get to enjoy our food while we eat it to sustain ourselves. So we can go to the grocery store, choose from a huge range of products thanks to the supply chain and the efficient logistics industry, which hasn't maybe been so great lately. And there we can buy groceries and we can prepare food that is both sustaining and delightful. Now, for those in the hospitality business, it gets really exciting here. We can prepare food, great food. We can even provide places and create cool atmospheres where friends and families can enjoy one another's company while enjoying tasty cuisine. He created humans with the need for shelter. We need a roof over our heads to give us shade from the sun and to keep us dry from the rain. This in itself created the form and purpose of community, I mean, of countless industries like design and manufacturing and construction. Eventually, drawing from the resources that God gave us, we have innovated into the capacity to build and design these amazing structures. God gave us mechanical ingenuity to create HVA systems that keep us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Using the creativity and innovation God gave us, we devised financial tools that allow us to raise capital so we can buy homes, launch businesses, and expand communities and cities. Marketers help our businesses tell their story so they can get the word out, so more people can be helped by the products and services of companies in every industry. Think about the healthcare industry, the wellness industry. God gave us the sciences so we can understand how to treat people and their illnesses. And he combined that with some business models that allow people in every community to receive immediate medical attention through emergency rooms and urgent care clinics. I could go on. Don't you see? God has equipped us with his resources and the capacity to innovate. He created the entire framework for business. He laid the foundation for the establishment of economic systems. This is the theology of business. God created it, and it's good. So when you and I go about our businesses, we can either do a job or we can look up and embrace the truth that we are advancing his good works. This is not just theoretical to me. I want you to know. I have been working through this, thinking about my own industry, thinking about my business and my craft. I have been in the commercial real estate business for 40 years. Wow, that sounds so old. Let's do over. I've been in the commercial real estate business for over 30 years. I've always worked hard to do my best, to put together good deals, transactions that are helpful. I've tried to do it to the glory of God. But the more I'm coming to understand how God has designed the world, I realize that I need more than a new mission statement. I need to find a deeper connection to God in my business. And I believe under His workmanship that my journey, I have been called to bring glory to God by using one of His original resources. They call it land. In order to find or create places where businesses can thrive, to create places where individuals and organizations and communities can flourish, I've needed God's word to give me the lens where I can step back and look up and see God's greater purposes in my business and in my life. And so for me, as I'm on the journey, struggling, working hard, messing up, doing good, messing up again, and getting up and working again, I am working to create places where individuals and organizations and communities can flourish. And I am praying that God will be glorified in the process. This is my little section of the garden. What's yours? That's really what I want us to find out today as we get to know one another, to share our piece of the garden, to share the joys and the challenges of our businesses. But before we land the plane on these thoughts, I want to give you just a few takeaways today. First, I think it's really important that we not separate or compartmentalize divine preparation and human responsibility. Verse 10 says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has sovereignly designed our skills and passions, and by His providence, He has arranged circumstances and opportunities. He has a plan, but we have a responsibility, which is to carry out His plan. Well, that's not easy because I don't know what His plan is. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs each step. So we do the best we can. We plan and we pray, and by faith, walk in the good works. But we can't let the God's sovereignty and divine preparation lead us toward passivity. On the same hand, we can't let our human responsibility lead us toward dependence on self. We must strike that understanding of the big picture. God's divine preparation should actually motivate us to pursue excellence more than ever before. Number two, we must daily exercise our faith muscle in our businesses and professions. Verse 8 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. And I believe under His workmanship, we are to do good works by grace through faith. Good works are the fruit of faith. Good works are the fruit of faith. How do we daily exercise the faith muscle? Well, we do it by working as hard as we can, and as smart as we can. We do that by drawing on the energy that we know God gave us, the experience and the skills. We do that by praying and trusting and putting our confidence in God. It's not an either or, it's a both and. John Babb is sitting in this room. He was with me 7.5 years ago when I was in the middle of the largest real estate transaction I have ever been involved in. I was representing Lifeway and the property they had owned for over 100 years downtown, a little over 14 acres. And the whole process of putting this deal together took more than 2 years. We were under contract with a group for $125 million, but we had reached a major crossroads. The buyer had to go at risk for an additional $2 million of earnest money. I had been working closely with the buyer. I was trying to help Lifeway, the seller, navigate this very complicated process. It was mid-afternoon and the deadline was a couple hours away. So I did what I knew to do. I worked hard. I was communicating with everyone. We were talking through the issues. I knew where the parties were. The tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I reached a moment where I felt like, okay, I've done all I can do. So I took a walk. I remember I walked down to the elevator, went downstairs. At Lifeway, they had this giant warehouse. Literally, it spanned from Broadway to Church Street, a couple of blocks long. I mean, it's big. And there's just some things stored down there. There was nobody else down there. And I began to walk, and I began to pray, and I began to cry out to God, you know, Lord, help me. I prayed, and I kept walking. And then I began to realize I better start praying for faith to handle the situation with grace if the deal falls apart. I probably walked around 20 minutes and praying. And then I went back upstairs and I began making some calls and getting some updates and trying to massage things the best I knew. I was doing all the things I knew to do. But after a while, I went back down to the warehouse and began to walk and pray. At that point, I didn't know what to pray, so I just prayed, God, help me. God, give favor to all these parties. Eventually, I received the call. The buyer put the earnest money up, and the deal went forward and eventually closed. Here's what I remember about that day. I remember the tension that you and I all face when we're trying to do our best, and it just seems impossible. And what God was teaching me as I go back and replay that tape is, this is what I want from you. Work hard and pray. Just call out to me. This is how we exercise the faith muscle every day. This is what we need to do. Sometimes I tell myself, why do I just do this in the moments of crisis? Why not just do this every day? I'm not talking about, I think we need that time, you know, before the Lord in the mornings, that's wonderful. But I'm talking about when you're in the middle of the daily grind. That's when we need to learn how to exercise the faith muscle. The last thing I would say is that we need to get, and this is, I'm preaching to me right now. We need to get out of our individual silos and think more about our communities and our cities and our world. The passage does not say, you are his workmanship. What does it say? We are his workmanship. Paul was writing a letter to all of the believers in Ephesus. I love the benefits of our Western culture. I love it. The freedoms are wonderful and have led to all kinds of cutting-edge business creativity and innovation. I mean, I am the biggest fan of entrepreneurship there is. I love the fact that in this country, all you need is an idea, a laptop, and a coffee shop. How good is that? I've been in other countries, and I see how they long for the entrepreneurship that we have here. And so I want to promote that wherever I can. But I also realize that sometimes we can get so wrapped up in me, what I'm doing, that we forget that God has organized the human race into families and communities and businesses and cities. There is a synergy in collaboration. It protects us from a self-centered worldview and a self-centered ambition. We see this idea carried out throughout the scriptures, like in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron, so one man another. Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Hebrews, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We have this opportunity to join together and collaborate and work in teams because we're part of God's team, doing his work, continuing from the garden, moving toward the city, the final city. You know, one bricklayer could never have built the cathedral. So on Monday, when you and I go back to work, we're either going to run our business and do our job, which is good, or we can look up knowing we are advancing his good works. We're like a crew of bricklayers building his kingdom on this earth. by his grace, through faith. I'm excited about what God is teaching me, what God is teaching all of us together today. I'm excited about our interactions today. I'm just praying that you're going to find exactly what God has you here to show you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the chance to be together. This is so cool. I'm just blown away. But I also know how much I need this, because I need to know that there are men and women, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are out there trying to fight the good fight, trying to be faithful, trying to bring salt and light where they are. Lord, thank you so much that you've given us a purpose that's so powerful. Like to know that you created the entire framework for business that we're part of. We're continuing your good works. So Lord, I pray you would just encourage us today. And you'd show us that even as we go about that good work and in the common grace that Scott talked about earlier, that we know that you put us in places where then we can share why we have purpose. Lord, we want to be your light. We want to be your salt. We want to be your servants. We want to be good at our businesses. We want to be growing. So Lord, help us to exercise that faith muscle. Help us to open up to each other today and find that encouragement and share that encouragement. And we pray all this, Lord, in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, in whose name we've gathered today for and under.